Now, as you know, we are studying the book of Job. Now, I was telling you earlier that I don't know what to do, whether I should just continue studying the book of Job or. Okay, yes, I'll do something else. Now, so what I'm going to do? I'm going to do both things, amen. I guess some things come to my mind once in a while, and they bother me a bit, so. And it set me thinking. And in that process of thoughts and process of meditation, I have ideas once in a while. So I hope I'm not just reacting to issues that are happening. All right, can we open our Bibles in the book of Isaiah chapter 53? Let me just start from there. If we finish, I want us to pray a bit, all right? He said, pray without ceasing, all right? So that's what I want us to do. And don't forget one thing I said before, we're talking about our prayer meetings here and there. I said again and again that we're not here to just pray. We're here to learn to pray. That is, any prayer we begin here, the idea is that we'll continue it after here. Are you getting my point? It's not that, I mean, we're just here for about an hour and a half this afternoon, in which we do school of prayers, meditations, school of Bible exegesis on different days. Sometimes we combine them like we seem to be doing today. So we really are not doing enough in just that one season. All right, so what we'll do is just to learn here, yeah, and then we'll continue. And I want to just encourage us with something again today. The book of Isaiah, chapter 53. I want to read from verse 4. Now, please, let me say something again, which I said before I read this. The hope that we have in life is the word of God. That here, amen? The hope that we have is what? I said something on Saturday, let me say it again. God does not describe what is happening. He prophesies what he wants to happen. And that is what is called the will of God. We often pray like, God, what is your will in this situation? And it's a very good prayer. But I told you before that what people claim that they heard God say is what they can understand. The will of God really is what God has spoken in the eternal past concerning that situation. For example, one day God made a man and then made a woman and said, this woman will be your wife and you'll be her husband. And he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father. What's the cause? Because God made them male and female. He said, whatever God has joined together, for this cause the man has left his father and his mother has joined to his wife, whatever God joins together, nobody should put asunder. Then one day God began to speak. I said, okay, you can put your wife asunder and give a certificate of divorce. And that seemed to be the will of God. But it wasn't. That was what God said to them through Moses. Because he said, of the hardness of their hearts. The truth is that the will of God was that which he recorded from the beginning. Are you getting what I'm trying to make? Now, please, I'm bringing out something here. So, God has a word concerning what? Every situation. And the way by which we experience the life of God is by drinking. Let me not use a very spiritual sounding word. Let's use simple words. By agreeing with what God has said. That's the first thing. To hear it and agree with it. That's how the word of God comes into our lives. And then when we begin to speak according to what God has said, what we are doing is that we are creating what God wrote in the heavens on the earth. He said, pray like this. That will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. That's what Jesus said. When you are praying, pray like this, that will be done on earth as it what? It is recorded in heaven. Now, please, let's understand that. All right? So, why am I saying this? Don't forget another thing we said before. That at the beginning, God came and said the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God looked and looked and looked. And said, what are we going to do? This is the will of God. Light be. And then there was light. And God looked at the center of the chaos and the troubles that was going on there, all right, that were going on, and said, all right, this is what is going to happen. He did not come commenting on what was existing, but he spoke his will into that which was wrong. So it's possible that we step into life and things are wrong. In fact, one of my favorite authors, Oswald Chambers, he said that is a fundamental, that's the foundation of existence, chaos. That's the way it starts. It's trouble. And then we now come and put order into it. Are you getting what I'm saying? We come and do what? We put order. And how do we put order? Just like God at the beginning, we look at it and say something. But I said before, the only voice that has power in this universe is the voice of God. So the power in your words, all right, is just as great as it is in tune with the voice of God. And how do we discover the voice of God? That which is recorded in the scriptures. Now, why am I saying all of this? Just you will see the reason in a moment. It's nothing new. Isaiah chapter 54 or 53. Now, so God doesn't describe what exists. He describes what he wants to be according to what he has planned, which is what we call his will. In answer in verse, let's start from verse 1, Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed our report or message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? What that implies is that anybody who wants to see the power of God revealed in his life, the first thing he does is to believe the word or the report of God. He said, for he grew up from before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, no appearance that we should be attracted to him. Verse 3 says, he was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face. He said he was despised and we did not esteem him. Now verse 4 is actually where I'm going, beginning from 4. He says, surely our griefs he himself bore, our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. Please listen to this. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed. The problem before was that all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Let me just stop there. Now, of course, this was describing the person of Jesus Christ even before he came and describing his work on the cross. All right? Isaiah chapter 53. Now, there's one psalm we always read, Psalm 103. Quickly, let me just read it. You don't have to open to it. If you can, go ahead. But I'll read it quickly. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. He says, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Now, again, I like to read in context, so that's why I read all of that. But what I actually want is verse 3. He said, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Now, we're going to pray briefly, all right? And what I want us to pray about, all right, is health for our bodies. What did I say? Health for our bodies. Now, I said all of which I said at the beginning, just to emphasize something, that there's chaos in life, all right? That's just the way it is. You can't help it, all right? It arises once in a while. The duty of every child of God is to act like God in that situation and speak what God has spoken about that situation to it. So that if the earth is without form and it is void, we will say, what are we supposed to do here? Say, God said, let there be light. And we speak light. We don't comment on, can you believe the extent of darkness that is going on? Hey, now wow. This darkness will just finish somebody one day. No. Well, this is the situation. What has God said? Let there be light. So we speak to the situation also. Let there be light. Let me just first tell you something before I go. You know, I told that sometimes I hope it's not like I'm reacting. One of my friends is very ill, all right, and is believing God for perfect health. Medically speaking, it's a very terrible condition, all right, but we are believing God that he'll be healed totally, all right. So I've been praying for him since yesterday or 2 days ago, and I initially planned. I said, when I get here, I'll beg all of you to join hands with me and pray for him. Do you understand? And you're going to do that, all right? I'll tell you a bit about him. You don't know him, so his name won't mean anything to you. So if you mention Pastor Banky's friend, whose heart is connected with, God knows who you are talking about. I will channel all of the prayer, don't worry. I'll carry the anointing and add it, all right? But while I was thinking about it, all right, I just realized that, look, I think we did that some time ago, all right? We prayed concerning our own health, and I took some time to explain the principle, all right? But I want to do that again today, just to reemphasize it, okay? So I just want us to understand some principles about divine health and divine healing again. Do you get my point? So that we'll practice it every day and we don't have to wait till the time we have a trouble. Do you follow what I mean? To respond. It's supposed to be, that's why Paul said we should pray without ceasing. Even Jesus said we must pray endlessly without ceasing. We continually bring the word of God, and that's how you can pray without ceasing. You understand that life has situations, so you continually bring what God has said about each situation to that situation. You keep on repeating it. Praying without ceasing is not every time you go and kneel down in a corner. All right? I mean, sometimes you walk. You really can't, and your walk until, if you're a driver, you can't kneel down while driving and leave your passenger. What's going to happen? All right? You're not the Muslim that you have to stop every, you know, if you ever travel in the north. In the south, it does happen. Southern Muslims can't dare that. All right? But in the north, you just be in a vehicle and suddenly the driver will just stop. No apologies. What is it? It's 12 o'clock. He wants to pray. There's no, please excuse me. He'll just park. He'll just come out. And if you want to complain, you just won't bother. When you see other passengers to join him and everyone, you're lined up somewhere. And you, the only non-Muslim there, you'll be looking. All right. Now, we Christians don't have to do that. Is that okay? But we can pray without ceasing. How do we pray without ceasing? I'll tell you. Every time a situation comes to your mind or comes before your face, all right? And you respond to it with a word that God has spoken. That's praying without ceasing. Are you getting what I'm saying? You buy a newspaper. They tell you that, for example, I was reading the newspaper yesterday night, and they said, crisis again in Jos, you know, that kind of thing. There's a way you pray without ceasing that. You can just, most of us will just, and I did that also, just read it and feel bad and continue. But there's a word that God has said about something like that. He said, I'm the Lord God, I make wars to cease. So you can read that. If your heart is connected, you just declare it upon that situation. You say, what if the war doesn't cease immediately? Listen, I don't want to go by it again. Prayers have measures. What did I say? The prayers of the saints, they are being measured. That one you said, that though it appears small to you, is added to a container. And listen to me, God is going around the country, gathering it. If the container is full, you say, when the clouds are full, they pour forth quietness of war, you know, end the war upon the earth. They pour forth rain upon the earth. That's what happens. That's why, I hope I'm not digressing too much. I always do that anyway. That's why we must never add our words to the basket of the devil so as to condemn our nation. Do you know the concept? Because situations occur every day. Yesterday, a friend of mine was in my house. He attended a political meeting. I couldn't believe it. I said, now I know why some governors shoot people. He attended a political meeting. When he narrated what occurred, I thought of one particular governor. Same like that guy, you'll shoot that man. Now, I'm just trying to say something. So, situations like that occur. You can look at it and complain. Which kind of country are we living in? Which kind of country? No. It's not good. It's not necessary. Some will not add condemnation to it. I say, in fact, we are finished. The devil says, thank you very much. Thank you very much. More. Say it again. Why? He's adding it to his own crucible, so he can use the poor calamity upon the earth. Listen, God doesn't just intervene. Listen to me, I need to say it clearly. He doesn't just intervene. He said, I wanted to intervene. So the first thing I did was what? I looked for a man who will beg me to intervene. I wanted to intervene. So I started looking for a man who will beg me to intervene. And look, and there are spiritual principles behind it. I have seen situations before. It's happened a number of times. That I knew that I had the understanding and the power of God with me to solve the problem. So why didn't I do it? I remember, if I told you one of my books, I just told the lady who was telling me the issue, I said, do you know the man's wife or one of the grown-up children? She said, yes. I tell him to come and see me. Why didn't I just pray on the spot? The truth is that it's none of my business. It was just paining me because I had the answer. I said, tell one of them to come and talk to me. If they did, look, listen, it's things that we had done before. Just give me the man's wife or one of the grown children, somebody who can take responsibility for their affairs in the family. I will pray with the person 10 minutes. That will be the end of it. But they were suffering because nobody, that's what God said, I sought for a man within the family to just come and stand in the gap and say, please, man of God, pray with me. Not man of God, though, boy of God. I was actually literal child of God. But I just had understanding. And it's pained me because I knew what to do. I was so certain. And that's how it happens with God a lot of times. Yes, he knows what to do. Because of that, he starts looking for a man who will stand and pray. And that's why he'll say, look, you watchmen that I've set over Jerusalem, don't give the Lord any rest, and take no rest for yourselves until he establishes Jerusalem as a praise on the earth. Why didn't he just do it? Are you getting my point? Why didn't he just do it? Why didn't he just do it? I don't know why, but the point is, I didn't do it. Because for whatever reason, I know why, but I don't have time to explain it. He needs you and I to speak. He needs you and I to add our words. So I'm just digressing to go talk about this nation thing again. You tell you about 2011, constitutional review, good luck, zoning, no zoning, you know. We hear things like that. Most of the time we just talk about it and leave it. Meanwhile, there's an angel that God has sent, and he has a basket, he has a bowl. He's going around. When you want to talk, say, yeah, what are you saying? What are you saying? Say, no matter what they say, why do the heathens rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The will of God and the purpose of God for this country will be established. There will be peace in this nation. There will be prosperity. As you are saying, the angel, you're the gather like this. Everything you are saying is in a bowl. When you finish, you cover up. And you go heaven. Pour it into that censer that Nigeria matters are being gathered in. But when you just say that, I don't know. In fact, we are finished. You go cover your basket quickly before you spoil the one that's inside already. Alright? So that's why we must be very careful. Every aspect of Nigeria. Don't say, it is our NFF. Is it NFF or NFA? NFF. They are all useless people. The devil just bring that his bent bucket. Yeah, say it some more. I don't know. They are all thieves. Say it again. We can never win any international engagement in this country. Say it more. Keep on saying it. Why do you think Ghana lost? All the rubbish we have been talking. Don't worry. If Ghanaians learn, they won't lose again like that. Now, what am I going to explain? Everything we say is a prayer. It depends on the direction you are directing it. You are getting the point I'm trying to make. So every time we see situations in life, what do? We address it with the... And prayer is not about desire. Prayer is about the word of God. What did I say? Prayer is not about desire. It's about what? The word of God. It is just good that our desire is in unity with God's word. What am I saying? We request what we know God wants to do. That's why John said if we pray according to his will. That's why when I first started today, I'm talking about bodily healing, all right? I first read what the scriptures had to say, what God had to say about it. So when we want to pray, when you look at the situation, you don't have to, you know, sometimes people think you have to go and learn big grammar. Just say the one that you know, in the simple words that you know it, and it's good enough. If it's somebody who is suffering, say, how do I pray? I want to pray for this person. Ooh, Father. It's not necessary. You saw somebody else do it. Do you understand? And the person was shouting, the one that was paining him, and it's not paining you. So why are you behaving like that? It's simple. Father, my friend is not feeling well. I ask you for mercy. Let him be healed right now in the name of Jesus Christ, according to the power that was released by the precious blood of Jesus. According to the power. Now, I'm saying because I know to say it. That's the kind of one that I say. If you don't know to say, don't bother. The first line is good enough. Do you get my point? I ask for your mercy and for your grace upon my friend, upon my son, upon my wife, upon myself. Let your healing power be manifested now in the name of Jesus. We speak your word in this situation. By his stripes, we have been healed. Simple. That one reached 2 minutes. No. Finishing like that is good enough. So you come back tomorrow. Father, I thank you because we're here yesterday, we prayed, and we know you heard us. Once again, we declare your word into this situation. We claim your mercy, we claim your grace, and we say, by his stripes, we have been healed. Shekinah. You cannot, you know, the way we say it in bend their side, you can't by force anybody to be healed. Amen? You can only speak the word of God. God will not act upon his word. Somebody called me a few days ago and said that, sir, what when I try to obey, I want to walk, I find myself, I say, you don't need to try. Take that word, believe it. Anytime it comes to your mind, all right, the situation, say the word. After a while, you discover the word is acting upon you and causing you both to will and to do. It is God that's at work within you, both to will and to do. We used to think those days as young ministers that people get healed when you use Ogboju to pray for them. You know what I mean, Ogboju? By force, so you go and get a cane. If you don't heal today, I go flog you. You raise your voice because the last preacher you heard pray for somebody that got healed. That's how he was shouting. It's not necessary. Are you getting my point? It's not necessary. What you just simply do is say what is in your heart, say what you understand that the word of God has said about the situation, and leave it there and walk away and keep on giving God thanks. If it's in your own personal life, all right, you keep on giving God thanks, believing that you have received the power of God into your body, and you don't sit down there and start saying, hey, I wonder what will happen. No, you know what will happen. You are believing God concerning what will happen, and every bit of strength that you begin to perceive in your body, you use it fully. Are you getting what I'm saying? Maybe before you couldn't get up to go anywhere. Now that you have prayed, the first thing is the desire to get up comes inside you. Reach out for it. Do you follow my point? If you take 5 steps and you get tired, sit down. Do you follow my point? Yeah, that's the way it is. But one thing you don't change, you keep on saying the same thing. You don't change your mind concerning what God has said. That is what I believe. My situation may be saying something differently. I'm fighting now. That's the way it is. That is the warfare. You are fighting the situation, and your weapon, the only weapon you have, is what God has said about it. Do you get the point I'm making? That's how prayer is. I just said all of that to lay the principle for us again. So we read that Isaiah chapter 53 because I just feel like, I told you what my own problem was. But based upon that, I just want us to pray, all right? And I think all of us won't mind. And listen, like I said earlier, you don't wait till you enter into one trouble. So begin to drag yourself out of it. Oftentimes you pray ahead of time, all right? To give yourself so much strength that sometimes you don't even notice the trouble ever came. I like the way Rapasti said it once. He said, you can miss that mess. That you don't have to enter it and get delivered. Sometimes you can just ride by and never experience it. Sometimes what happens is that the strength that God pours into you is so strong, though you experience the troubles, you don't notice it was trouble. Because the major thing about what we experience in life is how we perceive it. So sometimes the trouble comes, you don't even know there was anything about it. Why? Because you built ahead of time spiritual strength into your being. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? Alright, so please, that's just what I want us to do. I would like us to just, for a few minutes, alright, before we study the book of Job briefly, let us just pray today, alright? First, like I said, I won't give you details. You don't know who I'm talking about, so you just pray for me. Say, dear Lord, that Pastor Banky's friend, we ask for your mercy, alright? But before we get to that, let's rise to our feet. Why are you sitting down? You are going to bless yourself, amen? I said, you are going to do what? You know, bless yourself. First of all, let us give God thanks because we walk in His will. It's very important. Just say, Father, I thank you because I'm a child of your will. I walk in your will. I have been born not of the will of flesh, all right, but of the will of God. It's important. What that means is that I'm not predicting my life, my future, things that are coming upon me based upon where I'm coming from, but according to what God has said. Your origin, your birth says things about you. All right, there are natural genes, all right, that say things about our lives. But there's a gene of the spirit. There is a spirit that God pours into our lives when we give our lives to Christ. And that is also saying something. And whichever one you give attention to is the one that overcomes, that prevails in your experience. Do you understand that? If you give attention to your natural heritage, that one prevails, all right? And anything that's born of flesh perishes. There's nothing, once it's natural, that's reliable. In the face of adversity, they will crumble. That's what natural things say. But there's a spiritual side, which comes to us, all right, by the new birth in Christ Jesus. And that thing is called the will of God, or the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of Christ. Whatever word you want to use for it, it's signifying the same thing. That the Word of God is now direct. That's now your genetic code. The Word of God is now your genetic code. Say, Father, I thank you because the Word of God is now my genetic code. Lord, I thank you because the Word of God is now my genetic code. Lord, I thank you. Now, you need to give Him thanks. Just acknowledge Him that, no, I am not going to live long because my father lived long. I am not going to live long. God, they say that in our family, people live long. That's not nonsense. It's not important. The Word of God is now my genetic code. I have been redeemed in Christ Jesus. I have been redeemed in Christ Jesus. Every natural tendency is gone away from me. I attach myself to the resurrection power of Christ, to the resurrection power of Christ, to the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you because in Christ Jesus I'm a new creation. In Christ Jesus I've been born anew. Spirit, soul, and it's affecting my body. I've been born again. The Spirit of Christ dwells in me. Give the Lord thanks for that. You know, Paul said that if Christ is in you, he said even though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit will give it life because of righteousness. He said in verse 11 of Romans chapter 8, he said, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus, Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who indwells you. Therefore begin to prophesy upon your body. Say, the Spirit of Christ is in me. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is giving life to my mortal body. It has healed and is healing all the diseases that I may ever have. Declare that old age is not a disease. I keep on saying that thing. People say, you know, you don't grow. Say, old age is not a disease. We have the testimony of Caleb. We have the testimony of Moses. Moses was 120 years old. His eyes were not dim, and his strength was not abated. He died because God spoke to him, come and lie down here and die. At the age of 80, Caleb looked at Moses and said, as my strength was 40 years ago, so it is today, for going out and for coming in. Declare, say, old age is not a disease. Therefore, I reject everything people call disease of old age. I say to my body, receive life, receive strength. That is what the faith that you have in Christ Jesus has given you. I declare that the Spirit of Christ Jesus, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, is giving life to my mortal bodies. Because the Spirit of God indwells me. Say, I am immune to all plagues of mankind. I am healed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The covenant I have with God is the covenant of healing. Say, devil, listen to me. Your works have been destroyed in my life. Say, in the name of Jesus, the works of the devil has been destroyed. He said, you know of Christ Jesus, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Therefore, the Bible says clearly that we have that Spirit of Christ. That same Spirit that God anointed Jesus with is in us and is healing every oppression. Say, God has done good for me. He has healed me of all oppressions of the devil. I speak to my head. I speak to my neck. I speak to my chest. I speak to my stomach, my arms, my legs, every part of me. From my skin to the core of my being. I say every work of the devil is removed in the name of Jesus Christ. I say I speak to my body. Body, receive the health of God. Body, receive the health of God. I don't care what scientists have as an explanation. It can be the gene, it can be the environment. But I speak the word of God to my body. By his stripes I have been healed. By the stripes of Jesus I have been healed. Listen, you don't have to be sick right now to be saying these things. No, you don't have to be sick. These are the vitamins of the Spirit, alright? That's giving strength for you to resist every infection of the Spirit, which manifests as infections of the flesh. These are the vitamins of the Spirit. So we must eat. No, we'll talk about the fraternity of Christ. We must eat our sacrifices. What are those things? Is the word of God. Those are the incantations we use to fight every affliction of the devil. Say, I speak to my mind. You are sound in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to every part of my body. Receive life. What does life mean? Life means function as God ordained you to function. It means function as God ordained you to function. I speak to every part of my body. Receive life in the name of Jesus. That is what God has given to you in Christ Jesus. I speak to my mind, be sound. I speak to my mind, be sound. See clearly. Clarity is your portion. This life will not confuse you. Because God has given us in Christ Jesus the spirit of love, of courage, and of a sound mind. I speak to my mind, be sound. No situation of life will run me crazy. I have a sound mind in Christ Jesus. I have a sound mind in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of Christ dwells in me and quickens and gives life to my mortal body. That is what I declare. In the name of Jesus, my mind is sound. In the name of Jesus, my heart is sound. My limbs are sound. Every part of me receives strength in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, I give you thanks. Say, Lord, I give you thanks. Say, Lord, I give you thanks. Say, Lord, I give you thanks. Just give him thanks. He said, because he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What can any man do to me? Therefore, let us declare. Say, because he has said, but repeat that time. He said, because he has said, by his stripes I have been healed. Therefore, I declare boldly that all diseases of mankind, they are not my portion. I have been healed. Say, my body is strong. Every part of me has life. Let me explain that thing again. Life means it functions the way God said it should function. If it's my eyes, it's seen very well. That's what life means. So declare, say, every part of me, there are many parts of your body. You have a brain, you have your eyes, you have your nose, you have your throat, your mouth, your neck. Yeah, you have many parts of your body. You have your reproductive organs, you have your bones, you have your kidneys, you have your liver, you have your intestines. Every part, if there's anyone that is troubling you, or anyone that comes to your mind periodically for whatever reason, speak to it now and say, in the name of Jesus, you have life. Say, because he has said, by his stripes I have been healed. Therefore, I declare to you that in the name of Jesus, you function according to divine order. Perfectly. In the name of Jesus, you have life. Speak to your shoulders. It's paining you. Say, in the name of Jesus, you have life. Sometimes your heart beats. You don't understand how it's beating. Speak to the heart. Say, in the name of Jesus, you have life. Before you eat small, you are full. You have this kind of indigestion. You don't understand. Speak to that stomach and those intestines. Say, because he has said, by his stripes I have been healed. Because he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless the holy name, who heals all your diseases. Because he has said, he heals all my diseases. Therefore, I speak to you, intestine. You have life and you function properly. Declare that any part of you that's paining you, say, healing is your portion. I call you well now in the name of Jesus. He said, God calls those things that be not as though they were. Some translations say, he calls into existence that which physically now was not existing. Therefore, even though you are not feeling it yet, speak to that part of your body, your being. Say, in the name of Jesus, you have life. And I command the healing power of God upon you because of what God has said. Listen, listen, people of God. You know, I said that life is always speaking. You know that? Life is always speaking. I mean, it's always speaking. You will see television, you just put on TV. Is that describing what kind of plague that's common in one particular area? And I feel this kind of people, when they all finish describing, you see, now you that they describe. It's called Echoes of Accusation. Are you getting my point? If you've read the book, Acquire Life, I describe it in there. It's Echoes of what? Accusation. Don't keep quiet. you answer it back. So that's the old man. That's the old flesh. That's under the old order. Say, Christ is in me. Say, His Spirit is in me. Therefore, He's giving life to my mortal body. Say, I speak. When they are watching, as they are talking, they are, you could talk your own. Don't just let them listen to what they are saying. Say, sometimes your neck will start swelling. You start checking the neck. It don't begin swell. No. As they are talking your own, it's a reporter. You know, what do they call those who broadcast on TV? Nobody reporters. What do they call them? Reporters. What do they call them? Reporters. As I say, who has believed this reporter? There are different kinds of reports. So as they are reporting, there is what they saw. It's not their fault. Just see them from one day. My wife was somewhere. Somebody was explaining and describing, these are the problems. You can just go blind suddenly. My wife was getting angry. It is not because the person talking is not, the person is an ophthalmologist, knows these issues. She said that, no, there are two reports. We heard one side. Give us the second side. So we choose the one you want to believe. Don't scare me. And then next time, so if they just take light. I say, yeah, touch. Let me check whether I don't blind. I'm never blind. There must be two reports. I like one song I love to illustrate this is Ron Kenoly. He said, whose report will you believe? That we shall believe the report of the Lord. If I knew I was going to do that, I would have brought that song for playing right now, for jam to the song small. It's very important. Say, his report says I am healed. His report says I am free. His report says liberty. Listen, spiritual things are real. Now, the one way you believe, after a while, you are converted. Anything you focus on, you are converted. He said, those are seven idols. After a while, they become like them. If you watch television too much, they tell you all the troubles of life. You just become, before you know what's happening, you are looking. When they see your ear, see your nose, end. The other ear, end. CNN. That's what they see on your face. You become like what you focus on. I get what I'm saying. So life is about reports. They tell you, say, bird flu is going to kill everybody. I used to say this, it's called bird flu, not banky flu. There's a world of difference between bird flu and banky flu. You know that. There's one flu me I catch all the time. It's called the word of God. Amen. So when they are declaring their own, what do? You declare your own. You say, well, we have discovered that 85% of those who are around have caught the disease and they are going to die over the next. So, You say, all right, have you finished your report? I carry my own. I begin to reap. Hey, thank you very much. I shall not die, but live. How do you know? I read the report. Me too, I went and observed. He says, straight up, straighten your back, look up. Your salvation, your redemption is what? Is near. Good. That's when people's hearts are failing them because of what they are seeing, observing, hearing. So it's important. We always report our own report. We always do what? Report our own report. You know, I've been saying it before. In fact, I was watching on TV. They were airing our program again recently. I said, there are different kinds of prophets. There are prophets that are from Ethiopia. That's Rastafari, you know what I'm saying? Yes. They wear long robe and they don't comb their hair. You don't have to be anointed to have that kind of hair. Every musician in town has it now. That's one group of prophets. There's a lot of pastors who like the prophetic office. It's good, it's not bad, but that's not the best prophet. The best prophet is who? Good. You are your own prophet, your own primary prophet. That's one prophet, that's the most important prophet in your life. I can prophesy upon you, it's good, though. Amen. But more important is the one you prophesy upon yourself. No, that's the most important prophecy. When people want to wed, they go to church, they bless them. Me too, I went. In fact, I had my pastor in Lagos, after I returned from the open ceremony where everybody know, we now went to church in Lagos. My pastor knows how to pray some very hot, that is, they are kind of prayers that when we finish praying for somebody, even if you wanted to fail before, you will succeed by force. I'm very good, I believe in it. But for me, most importantly, the greatest blessing that my wife got was the one I gave, because I was the pastor in the house. I'm the priest in the house, the prophet in the house. So I said, yeah, kneel down here. Let me bless you. Let me bless you with prosperity, with children, with long life, with strength, with everything. I like the one pastor will pray, but that one is inferior to the one I pray. Not because he's less anointed than me, generally speaking, But in this house, the most anointed man is the husband. In your life, you are the most anointed person. Are you getting my point? If somebody prophesy, right? One evening, do like this. Once you wing that nose, you all bounce all the prophecy back. That's why he's not as powerful as you. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not as powerful as you because it's your life. Jesus came with heavy anointing. The Bible says he could dare do no mighty work. Not he refused though. He tried, the power not flow. Before any go do like this, time for your heal suddenly. He go do like this. You see what's in the apple. You see the power stuck to his hand. You know when the woman with the issue of blood touched Jesus Christ like this, I used to say that is it power departed from me. How did he know? It wasn't a word of knowledge. The man wanted to walk out. The woman don't drain. That is all the energy inside him just went fume. He went to carry one leg. The leg no move. Where is it? Say somebody don't collect that. He said somebody touched me. Hey, wait! Don't tell me anything. Somebody touched me. But when he went to his hometown, he do like this. The hand went out heavy, came back heavy. Nothing inside. It was released. Why? Because the people were not willing to receive. They were saying, hey. So, Bobo Josh is now a pastor too. And that was the problem. What am I saying? No matter the anointing he had, he couldn't bless them. But the woman with the issue of blood prophesied. He said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, just watch it, I shall be made whole. And Jesus did not even know she was coming. But because she had prophesied properly, the moment she touched, even the, you know, there was a time Jesus was holding anointing. The woman said, just watch you, I will break the lock of this door. The Syrophoenician woman. That was what happened now. When you are your own, that's what I'm saying. Forget if people go and be looking around for. It's going to pray for you. If you come, I'll pray for you. Really, believe me. But before you come, pray for yourself first, so that two of us can be in agreement. That's the most powerful one. One woman came to Jesus and said that heal my daughter. Jesus looks at, anointing not rich. You not reach that side. I don't check the level. Not the overflow reaching that side. The woman said, I beg now. He didn't answer. Why didn't he answer? He had nothing to give her. After a while, the disciples now said, drive her away now. She's disturbing us. He now called the woman to explain why her daughter couldn't get healed. Then the woman said, you are joking. You are joking. What are you talking? You're a joke. This girl was healed by force. He said, but the children, the bread belongs to the children. He said, bread, when the person they chop, crumb not they fall. You get my point? Even when the master was not willing, because she was her own prophet, that's the point I'm making. She collected what Jesus was not quick to release. Please, do you understand the principle? Therefore, life is always talking. You know, when you read the report, you tell somebody just die, you know, like, you just wonder, you just look, say, my dad and my friend and my age, all he has telling that you two, you know, that's what you are thinking. Oh boy, quickly remove the thoughts. Like I say, you know you don't have meat. You just quickly remove the thoughts. Like you said, I shall not die. When they say, you know, because that's what life, no, it's trying to tell. Life is telling you something. You quickly say, no, it's not going to be like that with me. You would quickly declare it, it's not going to be like that with me. That's what are you getting what I'm saying? Every time life talks, you respond. The most powerful prophet in your life is you. And the most powerful voice, we said, is the voice of the word of God. So if you, the most powerful prophet in your life, takes the word of God, the most powerful voice on the earth, and you prophesy about your situation, believe me, the life of God will be manifested in your life. I hope you got my point. Once again, let us prophesy. Say, Lord, because you have said, now, any word you like, use now. Speak to anything in your life that you like. Your body, your business, your marriage, your children, your career, your future. God has said something. Let's receive that healing. By faith, What is faith? Just to take what God has said and say, yes, it is so. That will be my portion. That's what faith is. Faith is, I take what the Lord has said, what the word of God says, what the prophecies, these words that were given to the prophets in Israel those days to hold for us till we will come. Now we have come. So we have taken Isaiah 53 that Isaiah prophesied. He said, by his stripes I have been healed. He was pierced through for my transgressions. I have been forgiven. All my sins have been forgiven. He was crushed for my iniquities. He said, the chastening for my well-being fell upon him. By his stripes I have been made well. I have been healed. He said, the Lord has taken all my iniquity and put upon him. Therefore, I'm free. I'm not a slave anymore. I'm not a slave anymore. I am not a slave anymore. Let me just say this before I stop there. You know, on Saturday, I told you the story of Peter Daniels that I watched on TV. And that thing was so, to me, it blessed me so much. Especially since the week before that one, I was in an Anglican church. And one of those days, that's just what I preached. I said to them, you are not a slave anymore. You are no longer a slave. And I spoke at length. Then the following week, I was watching TV. And Peter Daniels said, as a boy, he was totally so unable to learn that they said he was brain damaged. And one teacher said, no, he's brain stupid. Everybody gave up on him. He couldn't learn. It's not their fault. That age of 26, he's a white man. It's not easy to find that a white man in the developed society to be illiterate. So at the age of 26, he was illiterate. He was an illiterate bricklayer. He went for a Billy Graham crusade. And after Billy Graham finished preaching, he suddenly realized that I'm not a slave anymore. I'm not inferior to anybody. I am the child of a king. And the man returned and began to learn. God gave him the ability to learn this time around. He began to read until he had read over 2,500 biographies. The man read. He kept on reading. He's very informed. He became very rich. Started a business. He collapsed a second one, a third one. Finally, in the fourth run this time around, the thing began to pick up. Why? Because he refused what life was telling him. He believed what Billy Graham told him with the word of God. He believed that one and stuck with that one. He got to a point in life. He was consulting for people. And a company paid him $1 million to talk to him for 10 minutes. All I'm giving you is 10 minutes. My fee is $1 million. They said, no problem. And they used what he said. And they earned $120 million. I was reading a book this afternoon. I mentioned to you the other day, Profiles of Success. I read the book this afternoon. I read one point. I said, this one is the real word of God. The man was talking about integrity in business. How to be a salesman God's way. Teaching salesmen how to do sales the way of God. Are you getting my point? So when we started out selling, I think, Xerox copiers, the supervisor said, look, we expect you to be able to sell to one copier out of every four presentations you make. And he went back home and said, why should I do that? Sell one copier out of four presentations. Now that is not reasonable. Why can't I sell four out of four presentations? The national average was 25%. That's why they told him one in four. He said, no, it doesn't make sense. He said he took his Bible. I'm talking about the power in the word of God. He took his Bible and read. And said, there must be something that God said about salesmanship. His own is that he never lies to anybody, never cajoles anybody. He looks at you, decides you need his product, explains to you how you need the product, why you need the product, how it will help you, how it will improve your business. He did 22 presentations and sold 22 copiers, 100%. That's how the word of God works. It's not theory. We don't come to make ourselves happy. It puts life into us. Are you getting my point? When I heard that Peter Daniel story again, I said, my God, this is what we are saying. This old man, when he was saying he was 71 years old, so it's not a boy who's trying to fool himself. He had experienced the power of God like that for almost 50 years. And he was saying it boldly, that this is how the word of God works. You imbibe it, you will never. In fact, I now remember that was my pastor in Lagos said then that he went for a conference and this man was preaching. And the man made a statement that there's a country that you're mostly white there. You white people think that black people are not smart, that there's a country that the people are smart. It described what destiny they have. It's a black nation called Nigeria. Ah, hey! My pastor said when he came out from there, you know, he took his tag, made sure it was boldly displayed that this guy is from Nigeria. Because I was the only person that came from Nigeria. The other people came, there were some other black people there, but they came from other parts of the world. Some were Nigerians, but they came from UK. So yes, Peter Daniel said that we are smart people. I mean, he could recognize it because there was a time they told him he was brain stupid and brain damaged. And the word of God worked in him. At the age of 26, as an illiterate bricklayer, white man at the age of 26 was when his life began to turn. At 71, he was telling this story, I was listening to him. By then, he wants to see how much money a man who came out of poverty can give out in a lifetime. He made it a job in his life just be giving out money. Just giving out money, giving out money, giving out money. Every time he consults, he said he earns at least $500,000. When companies sit down to talk to him, $500,000 first, what in that talk? And they know he's worth every dollar they are spending. Are you getting my point? It's the one you will believe. Oh. If they tell you will die suddenly and you believe it, one day we'll just hear, boah, you just die suddenly. He said, how could he die? He agreed now. And die suddenly. I will not die suddenly. Say it, oh. I will live long. Jesus has redeemed me. I have been bought with a price. I will not die suddenly. I am not a failure. I cannot fail. I was giving a testimony earlier. That's what the Bible called cloud of witnesses. Peter Daniel said he started the first three businesses, they collapsed. So he did two businesses, they collapsed. So? In fact, you know what the Bible said? The maximum that will happen? 7. Said this righteous man starts 7 businesses and they fail. And the Lord makes him succeed in the 8th one. That's what the Bible says. No be me talk up. I said, it's what is written we used to fight. Not be struggle. You are all sitting down here listening to me talk, Abby. The first seminar I organized in Enugu, the last day, there were 3 people present. Pastor Banky, his wife, and his friend. And I printed 1,000 flyers. And paid 10,000 naira to the hotel that we used their restaurant. And I preached the message of my life to my wife and my friend. It would have only been my wife. I said that my friend said, he traveled. He said, no, just drop his wife at home and drove down. Bam. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Who was there? Pastor Manki, his wife. I was the preacher. So I had only 2 people. So by the time we finished preaching, he said, oh boy, we don't finish now. Let's close now. I'm just amongst us. So we just continued the fellowship in the car and went. I still have the tapes. Embarrassment does not allow me to listen to it. If you want, I will show it to you. I won't let you listen to it though, before you start laughing at me. The righteous man organized 7 seminars and they collapsed. Do you follow my point? So who said you are a failure? Declare I'm not a failure. Declare it again. Say it if you want that. Say, Lord, I will give out $1,000,000 as an offering. Declare it. Look, I'm not saying that you will have. I think you will so have that they say, okay, this project is 1,000,000. May not take. It is unto you according to your faith. In the name of Jesus Christ. Declare it again. So I am a victor in Christ Jesus. Declare it, I am a healed man in Christ Jesus. Declare it, I am successful in Christ Jesus. I am not a slave anymore. I have been set free by Christ Jesus. I have been set free in Christ Jesus. Say, the truth of God has set me free. Say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me than the diseases out there. I am immune to all of them. Christ is in me by his spirit. That same spirit that raised him from the dead has raised my mortal body in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's just give the Lord thanks once again. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Because you are good. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because you are good. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because you are good. Say, Lord, I thank you. because your mercy is upon me. Lord, I thank you. Your mercy is over me. 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 Lord, I give you thanks. I worship you because you are good. In the name of Jesus Christ. But give me 30 seconds. Just simply, Father, just pray in your own words. I tell you, I have a friend who is seriously ill. He's gone for treatment. They said he has cancer that has spread over his body. But I'm trusting God. I told the Lord, please, in 30 years time, he and I will be laughing at this story. In 40 years time, we'll look back and say, now, wow. So just pray, please, for a few seconds. For Pastor Banky's friend, I pray, Lord, let your mercy be revealed according to the mercy of Jesus that died for our sins and was bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes we were healed. I speak against that cancer. Every prayer you're praying, I'm channeling it. I know the person. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, we give you thanks. Because indeed you have heard us. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.